Okay, Chevra, so Sukkah Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we know that a Sukkah above 20 Amos is not kosher, and the Gemara tells us that there are three reasons why this is correct. The reason of Rabbah is because Lama'an Yedu'u Darosechem, that you have to be cognizant, you have to be aware that you're in the Sukkah. If the Sukkah is above 20 Amos, so you don't feel the Sukkah, consequently it's not good. The reason of Reb Zeira is because if the sukkah is above 20 amos, so such a sukkah is giving shade from the walls rather than from the schach. Consequently, that is no good. The reason of Rava is that a sukkah over 20 amos is considered diras keva rather than diras arai. And to be a kosher sukkah, it has to be diras arai. It has to be temporary. So these are the three reasons that are quoted in the Gemara. And Tosfos on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph goes to town with one of the more interesting and famous conversations in Maseches Sukkah. Just to give a teeny bit of more background to get into Tosfos, if you remember, the Gemara asks Akasha, says, one second, how are you telling me that Sukkah under 20 Amos is by definition arai? What about if I make my sukkah with mechitzel shel barzel? By the way, just interesting comment, there is a chumrah that some people have not to be maimed the sukkah with a dover that's mekabel tuma. You know, all these people who like go like nuts, oh my gosh, like, and we can't have anything that's supported, blah, 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 blah. Like, the Feirish and the Gemara, based on what often sukkah, you don't have to get that far. Like, but mechitzel shel barzel are able to support the sukkah. Now, again, when we get to Daf Chaf Hei, Mimir Tzah Hashem, it's a school of Arichos Yomim, when we get to Daf Chaf Hei, so we'll discuss the sugya of Maimid, but the Pashtus in our Gemara, I think, is that there is zero problem with a sukkah that is supported by metal. No? Zero problem. So, the Gemara says, well, if the sukkah is supported by metal, that's not such a problem, because in theory, you could have supported the sukkah with something else. A sukkah, however, above 20 amos, the simple understanding of the Gemara, and this is one opinion in the Ritva, is that definitionally such a sukkah is considered keva rather than arai. So Tosfos comments, ki avad le diras keva shapir domi. First three lines in the Tosfos, like an aside, the afagav yishafash kra. Bedira she'ena ru'uya ela l'shiv'a l'me'ute keva. We could have said that the pasuk is teaching me that a sukkah has to be something that can only last for 7 days. Nonetheless, mashal ekra da asul shiura la uriyalach midas gova koloma besukkah she'efshar la asos arai. We could have understood the pasuk that a sukkah has to be temporary to refer to the duration of time that the sukkah is able to survive, to last. In other words, that if the sukkah lasts more than 7 days, maybe that's not good. I remember as a kid, there used to be a TV show called Inspector Gadget, yeah. And this note will self-destruct. So I always imagine that's like what's going on here, that maybe the pasuk is talking about a sukkah that will self-destruct after 7 days, right? Or the only type of sukkah that's kosher is if the sukkah can't make it for more than 7 days. Nonetheless, the Pashtus says, Tosfos, that it's coming to teach you something about the midas gova, the height of the sukkah. So then, Tosfos asks Akasha, "Frek Tosfos vim tomar kim lo chayshina oshet heruia la asosa arai afa pisha osa osa keva im kein amai omar gishomim siman klola b'chag v'halo yachol lekboa hanisarim b'mas meirim shelo yeredu gishomim b'sukkah." Comma question mark basically. Okay, so who wants to explain Tosfos' kasha to me? You thought like I'd do all the, you know, all the hard work for you.
Can I just ask a question before we get to that? How do you understand the pasuk meaning the gvoha?
Yeah, so again, the pasuk says basukot heshvu shivat yamim. Somehow, again, the Ritva has some comment which is very hard to understand, that the pasuk should have said shivat yamim teshvu basukot. I don't know exactly what the Ritva means. The Aruch Lanier comment just that the pasuk could have missed a few words. The pasuk could have said kol azrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot shivat yamim. By the way, the Torah writes is Basukot Yeshu Shabbat Yamim, Kol Azrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukot. So there's a lot of redundant verbiage. So the Torah could have just written Kol Azrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukot Shabbat Yamim. The fact that the Torah writes Basukos Teshvu, which are extra words, that implies that you should live in something which is fundamentally a sukkah, as opposed to a bias, something that is fundamentally temporary as opposed to permanent. Now, how come it's talking about Midas Gova rather than the duration of time that it lasts? So my understanding of the Taisus is just that what Taisus means is the first thing that comes to mind is height. That's my understanding of Taisus. I can't do any better than that. I don't.
It's not arai. Like, in other words,
the question is, in which sense is it arai? Arai could mean lots of different things, right? The Gemara rejected the possibility that arai means a flimsy material. Arai could have meant the amount of time that the booth will stand, or arai could mean the amount of time or the height of the booth. For some reason, Taisus is assuming that the Gemara assumes that it means the height of the booth. Apparently, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't know why. Again, it's like a Rorschach, right? Whatever the first thing that comes to mind is, that's what it is. So Taisus asks Akasha. The Gemara at the beginning of Tainus tells me that Geshamim b'chag is simin klala, right? That we don't start asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain until the end of the Yontif of Sukkot, no? We're mispalo for Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, because if it rains during the Yontif of Sukkot, that's bad. It's a simin klala. So Taisus asks Akasha, why is it a simin klala? It's a simin klala because when it rains in the sukkah, it's like Hashem is telling you, I'm not interested in your sukkah, get out of here. But for Taisus, what's the simin klala? Right, build a sukkah in a way that you'll nail down the boards and rain won't penetrate, and therefore all will be grand. That's Taisus's kasha. Once we're saying that all you need is that it could have been made arai, the fact that you make a keva is not a problem. The fact that you have steel walls doesn't invalidate the sukkah. So for Taisus, so nail your schach down, and once you nail your schach down, it should be kosher. And even if you're going to tell me, Tosis says, and even if you're going to tell me that it is a problem midrabanan to nail down your schach, because there's something called gezeiras tikra. You see, the din d'oraisa is you have to sit in a sukkah. And a sukkah is different than a bayis. Now, a bayis means that you have a full-fledged ceiling. There are certain things in this world that are not full-fledged ceilings, but they are kind of, sort of, like ceilings. For example, if I have boards which are wider than 4 tefachim, each schach board, if it's wider than 4 tefachim, so that is going to be a problem of gezeiras tikra. It's like you're underneath a roof, which means that it's like you're in a bayis, which would be a problem. So Taisus says, well, maybe the sukkah with the schach that's nailed down is a problem based on gezeiras tikra, mikomakom, kevan de lo asor ela midrabonon, lo shaycha lemeimar shagishamim simin klala. Right, the rain that the Gemara at the beginning of Tainus is discussing, rain is a simin klala, it's only because when it rains in the sukkah, so therefore min hatayra you can't be yotze. Right? If you could be yotze min ha-Torah, just rabbinically, you're not yotze.
If it rains in the sukkah,
so however I conceptualize it, but I don't get the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah when it's raining in the sukkah. So it's like Hashem is telling me, I'm not interested in your mitzvah. Right? You don't get a mitzvah when you sit in the sukkah in the rain. Now, theoretically, Tosis has an einfall. Right? Tosis says, oh, what we could do is we could say that you nail your schach boards down, and it's only a problem midrabanan. Okay. Well, if it's only a problem midrabanan, says Tosfos, that would still mean that min ha-Torah, you get your mitzvah of sukkah when you're sitting under these boards that are nailed down. And if you get your mitzvah of sukkah when you're sitting under these nailed down boards, so therefore, it's not a simen klala. The simen klala is that Hashem is telling me, I don't want your mitzvah, but I'm getting the mitzvah. Min ha-Torah. Midrabanan, I don't get the mitzvah, because the boards are nailed down. But min ha-Torah, I do get the mitzvah. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha. What's wrong with nailing the boards down? Since in theory it could be arai, so the fact that I nail it down should not invalidate the sukkah on the level of deraisa. If it doesn't validate the sukkah on the level of deraisa, so then what's so bad about rain during sukkahs? And say tefilas geshem the first day of Yom Tov. Everything comes back to when you say tefilas geshem. That's the basic idea. Is this question relatively clear? Tosfos kasha? So Tosfos answers what? What's Tosfos' famous answer?
It's, we're not concerned about making the walls very permanent. It's just the schach that has to be temporary.
Correct, but sharpen it a bit. Say Tosfos.
Because the sukkah is al shem haschach.
Since the sukkah is al shem haschach, so therefore the requirement of, I don't know, is there an English word of temporariness or something? Or the requirement for being temporary is more accented, is more prominent with the schach than it is with the walls. So with the walls, I could say, I could have metal walls and say, theoretically, they could be flimsy, and that's okay. But with the schach, since schach is sukkah, right? It's the same thing. Like Rashi wrote at the beginning of the Masechta, al shem haschach kruya sukkah. Tosfos is saying that same idea. And Tosfos is saying, halacha lemaisa, that means that if I nail down my schach, it is not a sukkah on the level of d'oraisa. Since the definition of sukkah is schach, if I nail it down, if I permanentize my schach, I went to YU, so I'm not supposed to speak English, it's fine. Right? But if I make my schach permanent, so by definition, it's no longer schach. It is no longer a temporary structure, and min ha-Torah, if I nail my schach down, it is going to be a problem, and you are not yotzei the sukkah when the schach is nailed down, min ha-Torah. And therefore, geshamim is simin, klala b'chag, etc., because there's no way of getting out of it. Good?
Well, the klala part doesn't really... you don't get a mitzvah of sukkah bechlal. It doesn't matter if you don't.
If it's raining, in other words, once it's raining, I have no option of getting the mitzvah of sukkah, because if I would nail down my schach, then I don't get my mitzvah sukkah min ha-Torah.
You wouldn't have your mitzvah in the Torah regardless, whether or not it's sunny or raining.
Well, but that's what it means, that it's a simen klala. If I have temporary schach, so it's a great, beautiful mitzvah when it's not raining. When it is raining, so Hashem is telling me, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you're not getting your mitzvah sukkah. Right? If I would have a way out, if I'd have a way of nailing the schach down so the rain would not be a problem, so then the Gemara cannot say that gishomim is simin klala b'chag. Right? We're saying the same thing. We're just dancing around. Okay. So it's a beautiful Tosfos. Everything is grand. Tosfos at the end says, by the way, that the fact that sukkah, schach, has to be temporary is part of the Iker definition of sukkah l'kuli alma, even according to Reb Zeira. That's like the last line of Tosfos, which I don't want to go into right now. Now, years and years ago, So the Hagos Maimini in Perek Chesef of Sukkah quoted that somebody came up with this idea of having an amazing type of sukkah, that they would just pile the schach on and on and on and on, really, really high, and rain would not go in. And when Rabbi Nutam heard about this, Rabbi Nutam said that a sukkah me'uva, a sukkah that is super fat, right? A sukkah that has schach that, right, is really fat, such a sukkah, you're not yotze. You're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah at all with a sukkah me'uva. And this Rabbi Nutam is quoted in a number of sources. The Russian Simon Yud Beis quotes it. I like the Mordechai. By the way, who was the Mordechai? When and where did he live? Before Moshe Rabbeinu, after?
After.
Before Moshe Feinstein, after?
Before.
Okay, good. So we know everything about him. So the Mordechai is Rabbi Mordechai ben Hillel. He was probably the last classical German Rishon. Meaning to say, the way Dr. Soloveitchik points out, there was this thing called the Rheinfleisch massacres in 1286. The Mordechai was killed in 1286 in those Rheinfleisch massacres. The Mordechai represents a school of Balei HaTosfos that's German rather than French. The French Balei HaTosfos, which is the Tosfos that we're used to, like comments on the Gemara. The German Rishon and the German Balei HaTosfos, they like to comment based on stories. Once upon a time, and every story involves someone named Kleinemus. It's amazing. Like half of Germany was named Kleinemus. But once upon a time, you know, whatever. That's like the way German Balei HaTosfos work. So in the Mordechai and Simon Tovshin Lamed Beis, so the Mordechai talks about a few points, which are, I actually like this Mordechai because I hope we'll get to another point in it later on in the shir tonight. But the Mordechai first says that the sukkah has to be made l'shem tzeil, that you have to build the sukkah in a way that there's going to be shade. And Rashi writes, u'bedavar shekasher l'sakech go, bo mitoch pirish Rashi mashma, d'migino min ha'gishomem k'sheira. The Mordechai quotes a Rashi that sounds like that if the schach prevents the rain from penetrating, it's kosher. But Rabbeinu Tam says a schach has to be made letzeil velo me'uva lahagim b'pnei hagishamim shezu psula. Rabbeinu Tam says that a sukkah that is me'uba, that's very thick, will be puzzle if it prevents the rain from entering. It's like written backwards. No, it should be Gishamim Simin Klala B'chag. It's okay. I don't know. Simin Klala Gishamim B'chag. Amad Estam Suka Eina Matzas Mipnei Gishamim. Kama. Semicolon, whatever. So Rabbi Nutam brings the same rayas that our Tosfos has, but unlike our Tosfos, who's only speaking about nailing the schach down, the Rabbi Nutam, as quoted in the Mordechai, says that a sukkah that has very thick schach is going to be puzzle. You get an impression puzzle min hatayra, and you don't get the mitzvah at all with a very thick schach. Sukkah. Right? Am I getting this right, Liat? Right? So far?
Yeah.
Right? So the Rabbeinu Tam is saying that you're not yotzei the mitzvah at all. Then the Mordechai comments, La halacha, yesh lahachmi l'chatchila lasoch hasikuch kedei shiu koichvei hachama nirin mitocha. Right? You should be machmi l'chatchila to make the schach so that koichvei chama. What's koichvei chama, by the way? Stars of the sun. That sounds like some reality TV show. No? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what Kochvei Chama is, but it means stars, right? So it says that L'chatzpil, you should have the sukkah in a way that you could see the stars. Ad kan divrei ha-Mordechai. So what's interesting is Tosfos and the Mordechai are basically saying the same thing, but they're saying something that's very different. According to Tosfos, the only problem is when the schach is nailed down, but according to the Mordechai, the problem is even if the schach is very thick. Why would Tosfos not say like the Mordechai? Right, l'cha'ora, if I'm worried that the schach does not allow rain to get in, and the possibility of rain getting in is essential for sukkah, so if the schach is really thick, the rain also will not get in. So why would Tosfos not say the Mordechai? Now, I'm assuming that the Mordechai, the Rabbeinu Tam, agrees with Tosfos. That the Rabbeinu Tam would say that if the schach is nailed down, it's also a problem. But he's saying a further chiddush, that even if the schach is not nailed down, if it's just thick, you're still not yotzei min ha'Torah. But why would Tosfos not say the Mordechai? Any thoughts on this?
It's just interesting how the Mordechai uses this word sniusa, like somehow to hide something in privacy. He doesn't talk about Arai versus Keva, and the Tosfos is very focused on fitting this into Rava, which is Arai and Keva, and so somehow like nailing things down feels more Keva.
I think that's just, again, like the launching pad. Like Tosfos is commenting on our Gemara, and the Mordechai is basing himself on the Gemara on Daf Ches about how shade is a requirement in the sukkah, etc. I think that's just like the starting point. I don't know if there's anything particularly significant in that Tznius type of idea. But what's the difference between schach that's nailed down and schach that is just very thick? Yes, welcome back. I just forgot your name,
Rachel.
Though. Hi, Rachel.
I mean, just even on a superficial level, like, thick layers, cloth, like, at least I imagine that as, like, multiple layers piled up. You can remove it. It's still temporary. It's
okay.
So you still don't violate the whole...
So Tosfos is saying that it's only not temporary if there is something that's done to the structure. If you bang it in, that really changes it. As opposed to just having many layers of schach, it doesn't change it. I think that's certainly a strong possibility. And I'd like to offer, though, another possibility, which is slightly different. I'm not 100% sure this is correct, but it seems to me that if you just have many layers of schach, the fact that it's waterproof is only that you need less water to get in. If you have many layers, right, but it's still a thatched roof. So if you have a really super heavy rain, it's still going to get in. As opposed to when it's nailed down basically is what we call a roof, no? It's not going to get in. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfos by us might be disagreeing about what is considered permanent. Right, Rachel's approach is that according to Tosfos, it's only permanent when you change the structure and you bang it in. Perhaps, though, there's another slightly different approach, which is that in both situations, it could be it is somewhat permanent, somewhat temporary, but the question is how much rain does it withstand? And maybe the Rabbeinu Tam, thick sukkah, will not withstand every bit of rain, as opposed to a sukkah that's nailed down that will withstand more rain, perhaps. Why is this relevant? I'll tell you why it's relevant. I'll say it in the cute way. You know, there is a discussion in Poskim as to whether it's ever mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
If you're a Kohen, right, so many Poskim say you're never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. There's like Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. I'm not exactly sure what the heter is for Kohanim to leave Eretz Yisrael, but that's a different conversation. Male Kohanim. There is a discussion that maybe if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can't leave, especially for the Yontiv of Sukkot. Because in Eretz Yisrael, during Sukkot, it's not going to rain. But you come to America, or Canada, or England, I imagine in England you probably never had a sukkah without reading your whole
literally
life.
Actually never.
What?
Yeah, actually never.
Actually never, right. Kind of amazing, no? But it's a shaila. Is it mutter to go to chutz la'aretz when that is going to mean that you are being mevatel the mitzvah sukkah? Because you go to chutz la'aretz and it's going to rain and then you are not doing a mitzvah. And l'cha'ara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do as many mitzvahs as we can. That's sort of why we're on this planet. So maybe it's usher to go to chutz la'aretz because you're being mevatel the mitzvah sukkah. And some of the cuter svarim say that this is exactly the pshat in the pasuk, Vayhi b'shalem sukkah monato b'tzion. Vayhi b'shalem sukkah monato b'tzion. You only get the yontiv of sukkahs b'shlemus b'tzion. Right? That's sort of the way they say it. So, years ago, someone came up with a great idea that they created a rain-proof schach. What's rain-proof schach? Basically, what they do is they have two half tubes, right? One, okay, I hated high school physics. Which way is concave? Which way is convex?
You just did it.
Concave is
what?
Like, I guess, from my perspective.
Yeah.
Concave is like where it caves in.
Concave is where it caves in. Okay, so this is the concave, this is the convex. So I think what they do is that you have concave one slightly above the convex one, and effectively, right, concave slightly above the convex, and effectively what that means is any bit of rain that would come would end up going off of this and bouncing, or end up not getting into the sukkah.
Like a gutter system.
It's a gutter system. This is like advanced technology. So someone came up with this great idea. And the question is, are you yotzei the mitzvah sukkah when you have this? And the people who were patenting it, you know, you look in like the Yated Neman, and they say, oh, this is amazing. You can see the stars through it. It's like the Koch Vechama, whatever those things are. And like, your mom, you get the mitzvah, it's beautiful. And what's the problem? It's never going to rain. Everything is amazing. So can you build a sukkah that's never going to rain into it? So what would you say? Yes, yeah, yeah.
I would say according to what we learned when the... And according to Tosos, I think you wouldn't be able to.
According to Tosos, why not?
Because then you you need to be able to have the rain effectively be the klala, and the rain wouldn't be a klala for you.
Okay. So are you saying according to Tosos or according to Rabbeinu Tam?
No, Tosos.
According to Tosos. Okay. In other words, you're saying that according to Tosos, if you bang down the schach, so min ha-toyro, it's not a sukkah, because the rain can't come in. So therefore, whenever rain can't come in,
yeah,
it's not a sukkah min ha-Torah.
I'm kind of going backwards, but yeah.
Right, but our Tosis, remember, never spoke about very thick schach.
That's true.
And the impression you get from Tosis, therefore, is that I can have a way that rain won't get in. As long as it's not nailed down. Yes?
But I think the question it becomes is, is the experience of getting rained on in the sukkah, right, integral to feeling like it's not keva? And so that, to me, is that they don't really address that because they are going through the examples. So you have to put your own feeling about when it says that sukkah mevuga is not kosher because rain can't get in. Is that because you won't have the experience of getting rained on, or is that because once you make a roof thick enough, it's actually just a roof,
right,
and it's no longer tough? And that's, you know,
so they're really, they are playing, they're dancing around this issue, and one could argue that this is the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Tam, that's quoted in the Mordechai. According to our Tosfos, and the way Rachel said it, I think it's even clearer, the only time a sukkah is not a sukkah is when it's nailed down. So theoretically, I could have something that rain doesn't get into, and it still is a gevaldika, kasher, a sukkah, with all the hidurim, all the hechsherim, it's amazing. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that thick schach is not kasher, so maybe this razzle-dazzle fancy thing is the equivalent of thick schach.
But is thick schach not kosher because you won't get rain on, or because it looks like a roof?
So the impression you get from the way the Mordechai quotes it is that it's more, the raya is from this Gemara in Tainus about tikva tisrach hamikva and about gishamim simin klala. You get the impression it's because you're not getting rained upon. If that's the case, so then this razzle dazzle fancy schach would be possible according to Rabbi Nutam.
But there's no requirement of getting rained on.
I could live in Israel and never get rained on. But if it rains, would I get rained on? Right? So the definition of schach is not to be able to see the stars. The definition of schach is the possibility of getting wet. Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Nutam. Now, I should note, one second, Hannah. I should note that in the Mishnah Brurah, I give you a few Myra Maklaimis in the Mishnah Brurah. The Mishnah Brurah in the Shar HaTzion, by the way, if anyone wants to do a doctorate, one of the great questions, the Mishnah Brurah somehow took over the world of halacha. In part, he actually conceived of a new type of halachic book. To the best of my knowledge, there was never a halachic text before the Mishnah Brurah that was written in three different parts. In other words, you have the Mishnah Brurah, the Bir Halacha, and the Shar HaTzion. Right? There was never, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not sure. This is something that Rabbi Schneidman, who was my predecessor in Mount Sinai, once asked me. Who before the Mishnah Brurah wrote a three-part halachic book? I don't know. And it's brilliant in some ways. Because the Mishnah Brurah is the shorter explanations. The Bir Halacha is the longer Be'urim. And the Shar HaTzion are the notes. But sometimes in the Shar HaTzion, he throws in a chiddush, or he throws in a bit of explanation. And he writes in Tafresh Lamed Gimel Sif Katan Vav. The Mishnah Brurah writes in the Shar HaTzion over there, Tafresh Lamed Gimel Vav, that you know what, if you nail it down, Min HaTorah, you're not Yodze. Is that correct? Tanya, am I reading it right? I don't have it in front of me. Right, but, thank you.
It's very small.
Yeah. It is. So the Shar HaTzion writes, Kasur HaTaisus, Dekoze b'defano, talbe v'schach, she'ikar hasuk al shem hasrach, lo miskasher min ha'Torah ado avid la'aray, dahinu shelo yikba ha'nesarim sh'hasrach b'mas meirim. Right? In other words, he paskins like Taisus on Beis Amad Aleph. Now if you bang it down with nails, you are not yotze min ha'Torah. But the Mishnah Brurah in Tafresh Lamed Aleph, Sifkat in Vav, he paskins that you should try to not have the schach so thick. And if the schach is super duper thick, try to remove some of it, maybe have a guy remove some of it. But push comes to shove, you're going to be yotze if the schach is really thick. And you could even make a bracha on the very thick schach. So that means that the Mishnah Brurah is paskin like Taisvis and not like the Mordechai. Based on this, Hasvara Nosenis, I think, that this razzle-dazzle type of schach would be kosher, because we don't hold like the Mordechai, we hold like the Tosis. And in the Dir Shu Mishnah Brurah, they quote that Rebbe Yoshev, Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, they all said that it's kosher. It happens that Rabbi Belsky, in his tshuvas, for some reason, someone bought me a gift, like Rabbi Belsky's tshuvas. So I was looking, so it was on my shelf in my office. I'm like, okay, let me see what he has about sukkahs. I pulled it off my shelf yesterday, because I know I'm giving a shir. And Rabbi Belsky writes, oh, this new thing that they came up with, the schach, is absolutely puzzle, and there's nothing to talk about. Why? Because Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Belsky says, tells me that if you nail it down, it is puzzle min ha-Torah. That means if you structurally create a situation that rain can't go in, min ha-Torah, it's no good. There is no difference, says Rabbi Belsky, between creating a structure with nails and creating a structure with these inverted posts. You are creating a situation that rain can't come in. The Rabbeinu Tam is giving a situation where rain can come into the sukkah, it just requires more rain. But Rabbi Belsky, for some reason, again, I personally think that it doesn't make sense, but Rabbi Belsky, for some reason, suggests that this sukkah is mamish, puzzle with these razzle-dazzle things. Lemaisa, it seems to me that it should be kosher. I think most poskim assume that it's kosher. Adkan. Good. So that's the first thing that I wanted to discuss. Let's move on. Beis HaMikdash. Rabba said that the reason why a sukkah over 20 is no good is because l'man yedu dorosechem. Zok the Gemara, kolu k'rabba la'amri hahu yediya l'dorosei. When it says l'man yedu dorosechem, it does not mean that when you sit in the sukkah, you have to know and be cognizant that you're in the sukkah. Rather, what it means is that future generations have to know that Klal Yisrael sat in the sukkah of Ananei HaKavod when we left Mitzrayim. Right? Hahu Yediya LeDoros, Zakdrashi Lav Yediya the Yeshiva Sukkah Ka'amar. We're not talking about the Yediya of the one who's sitting in the sukkah. Ela B'Yediyas Doros HaBoin Hekif HaSukkah Hekif Sukkah Sanani HaKavod HaNasa LaAvos. Now, a few points. We already spoke. I gave you a marimakom in Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger in the Bikurei Yaakov as to whether we paskin like that Bach or not. We spoke about that Bach last week. The Bach who says that when you're in the sukkah, you have to be aware that you're in the sukkah to represent Ananei HaKavod. And the Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger discusses that in the context of this Rashi. But I just wanted to make one other point about this Rashi, which is we noted last time that to say Ananei HaKavod is the sukkah is really difficult, no? What do you think sukkahs are? Like, what's a sukkah? When you think of a sukkah, do you think of Ananei HaKavod? So Pashtus is not. Yet Rashi consistently, we saw in Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi says that Pshuto Shel Mikra is Ananei HaKavod. And like we began to scratch whatever hair we have left. Like, what's going on over here? Has that pshuto shel mikra? It just doesn't make sense. And Rashi over here also says, Ananei HaKavod. So Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger thinks that maybe the idea is that if the Torah is creating a zechira, it makes more sense for something that was miraculous. And Sukkos Mamish is not miraculous. Hashem wants us to remember something. Remember what? Oh, so remember that yesterday you took a walk. That's like, you remember a miracle. You don't remember a normal thing. Building a hut is a normal thing. Okay? That's his approach. We noted, though, from the Chaya Adam and from the parish of the Bechor Shar Al HaTorah, that it could be that Sukkos Mamish was also miraculous, in that when Klal Yisrael was going to fight against Sichon and Og, they camped out and they built these Sukkos and the enemy didn't notice them at night. So we remember a war that we won. Right? I mean, that's nice. But still, why is Rashi saying Ananei HaKavod? Why does Rashi always say Ananei HaKavod? So the Netziv has this very interesting idea, no? Did anyone see the Netziv in the Merom Sada? Who was the Netziv? When and where did he live? Neftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Valozhin. Yeah, he was actually kind of cool. Dr. Soloveitchik's point is that the Netziv wrote on underprivileged texts. So the Netziv wrote a commentary on the She'otos of Rabbi Choygon. The Netziv wrote a commentary on the Midrashei Halacha and Devarim. He writes commentaries on texts that like other people don't comment, and he's actually very creative. His commentary on Chumash, that's also an underprivileged text. No? His commentary on Chumash, the HaMikdavar, is like, he's really mamish very creative. The Netziv took a strong liking to Maran HaRav Kook. When Rav Kook went into Valozhin, the Netziv gave Rav Kook permission. The rule in Valozhin was that you were not allowed to wear tefillin all day because it was considered gaiva. But the Netziv allowed Rav Kook to wear tefillin all day. He gave him special permission. He figured that he's actually a holy Jew. The Netziv wanted Rav Kook to get smicha when he was 14. So he sent Rav Kook to the Aruch HaShulchan. The only smicha Rav Kook had was from the Aruch HaShulchan when he was like 14. The Netziv comments that maybe everybody agrees that the sukkos were Ananei HaKavod, but there's a difference between daytime and nighttime. In other words, during the day, when they are not moving, they would have sukkos mamish. But everyone agrees that at times when they're moving, right? Let's say it like this, not between daytime and nighttime, difference between moving and not moving. When they're moving, everybody agrees the sukkos are the ananei hakavod. But when they're stationary, so then the sukkos might have been sukkos mamish. But since everyone agrees that there were sukkos of ananei hakavod, that's why Rashi paskins ananei hakavod. That's in the Tziv's comment over here, which I actually liked. Okay, weiter. Zakti Gemara. How come everyone does not agree with Reb Zeira? Remember, Reb Zeira said that you have to sit in the tzeil of the schach, not the tzeil of the defanos. Reb Zeira namelo amri ha'chulu yemois ha'mashiach hu dechsev. That pasuk is written about yemois ha'mashiach. When we speak about the sukkah and those psukim, it's not talking about that you have to get shade from the schach, but rather it means that in Yemos HaMashiach, you need shade, but a sukkah of mitzvah does not need shade. Kama. Reb Zera says, if that's the case, the pasuk says, V'chupa, T'yam etzil yomam nai v'sukkah, etzir ha-shmer min atarati, and Karava they don't say like the kasha of Abaya. Now, we just read the Gemara according to Rashi. But look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on this Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different pshat in the Gemara, at least in the first part of the Gemara, with Rabbah, which I think is worth noting. Did any of you take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel? Who was Rabbeinu Chananel? So Rabbeinu Chananel was from Kairuan, no? He was the first Talmud. One of the big mysteries in Jewish history is how Jews got out of Iraq. Like, Jews settled in Iraq probably before Bayis Sheni, and we were there consistently. And we had yeshivas in Sur and Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa, by the way, is Fallujah. It's the hellhole of the planet. It's like the place where you do not want to be. So, we don't know exactly how Klal Yisrael got out of Iraq and ended up in northern Africa. There is some historical story called the Arba Shavuyim, that there are these four people on a boat and they get captured and they end up in four different towns in northern Africa, and one of them is Rabbeinu Chananel ben Chushiel, and he is the Rabbeinu Chananel, and he lived in Kairuan, which is in Sudan or something, right? That's where he lived, and it's beautiful. So look at Rabbeinu Chananel. In my Gemara, it's like the first wide line on Beis Amlav. Kuhu hano amaroi, kirabalo amri, mishum desvir lahu, daha yediyah dechsiv bakra, lesa yediyah leman diyosid besukah. So far, so good. When we speak about yediyah, it doesn't mean that the one who's sitting in the sukkah needs yediyah. The tzarech hayoshev shiur yediyah so, ki yoshev b'schach she'osa sukkah, ela, it doesn't mean yediyah of the one sitting in the sukkah. It means yediyah ledoros. Kilomar hadoros habaim, future generations. Kevon sharon sheosim sukkos meinichen beis dirasan v'yoshem b'mos hachag b'sukkah shoal mipnei ma'osin kain u'magidin lahem avoseihem ma'aseh yitzias mitzrayim. What does that sound like?
Pesach.
It sounds like Pesach, no? Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, right, yediyah ledoros means you build a sukkah. Why do you build the sukkah so that your kids say, hey, mom, like, what's going on? Why are we not eating in the dining room? Oh, well, you should know, we left Mitzrayim, and that's why we're building this hut. Right? It's like she'ela u'tshuva. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, Pesach and sukkahs are mamish sharing this same idea, and that's what the Gemara means of yediyah ledoros. When the Torah says, L'man yedu darasechem, it doesn't mean that when I sit in the sukkah, I have to be cognizant of the ananei hakavod. No. What it means is, build a sukkah so that future generations will ask you what you're doing, and you'll say, Yitzias Mitzrayim.
That fits with Binyan Sukkah being for first parak.
So if Binyan Sukkah is the first parak, what is gained by Binyan Sukkah? What exactly are we accomplishing? What's the mitzvah? Beautiful, Tanya, right? In other words, the idea is, no, there... the mitzvah of building a sukkah so that kedesha yishalu hatinokos. The idea is that we want the kid to ask a kasha. I thought that's like really, it's really interesting, right? Does anyone do this? No? It happens that in the Torah, Ki Yisholcha Bincha Machar Leimar is written twice. It's written by the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach. Anyone remember the other time it's written? There's like a collector's item. By the mitzvah Pidyon Petar Chamor. The Torah writes, when your kid asks a question, so then you should tell them, oh, that we left Mitzrayim. And I saw in one of the Brisker Sram, I think Reb David Soloveitchik or something, he points out that you should know if you ever had a pig in Petar Chamor and your kid asks you what you're doing, you better tell them. And I go on, like, yeah, it's a mitzvah d'iraisa. It's like, okay, I don't know. I'm not sure if Rabbeinu Chananu over here is saying that it's a mitzvah d'iraisa or not. I get the impression that Yediyah L'Doros, it sounds like it's a mitzvah d'iraisa, that L'man Yed U'Doroseichem. Just the last point I wanted to make is that Rashi, in the context of Yemos HaMashiach, in the context of Reb Zeira, so Rashi says, in Yemos HaMashiach, those sukkahs should be for tzeil, but a sukkah mitzvah does not have to be for tzeil. A sukkah for the mitzvah does not have to be made for shade. And the Pnei Yehoshua, was the rabbi of Frankfurt am Main, 18th century, so the Pnei Yehoshua says, what do you mean? The sukkah doesn't have to be for shade. The Gemara in Chesam Advez has a whole sugya about sukkah skanbach, that a sukkah that is built by people who do not have the mitzvah of sukkah, it could still be a kosher sukkah, providing it's made l'shem tzeil. If a sukkah is not built l'shem tzeil, right, so it's not a good sukkah. So everyone jumps up and down, they spit water nickels, they say, Rashi, what are you talking about? That sukkah's mitzvah doesn't have to be l'tzeil. Right? That's what Rashi writes. It's not true. It's against the Gemara in Chesam Abayis. So maybe next time we learn, Yirtzeh Hashem, we could talk about the Netziv has an interesting answer, Rabbi Asher Weiss has a little shir that he developed. Maybe we could speak about that next time we learn Bezras Hashem. But for the time being, we will break over here. Okay, Chavra? Is next week Hanukkah already or 2 weeks or no?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, so next week we'll have Shir Yetzer Hashem, and we'll have to figure out about the week after. Is this pace too slow, too fast? Like, it seems to me that like people did not get to all the Makoros, yeah. But I don't think I should be slowing down, right? We're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Chevra, so should have a good night.
Thank you so much.